Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there are so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes for he was naked and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging a net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." The second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he'd said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel today begins with the words, "Jesus showed himself again." The Greek word phaneroo means to make manifest what was hidden, in particular, a heavenly reality appearing on earth. The resurrection of Jesus is a revelation of God's presence among us. That is why we prayed this morning, "Open the eyes of our faith to behold his redeeming work." We need to have our eyes opened. We need to have our eyes opened. Redemption, the redeeming work of Christ, is a word associated with buying the life of a slave to set them free. When I was a child, my grandmother collected S&H green stamps. And we went to a place called a redemption center. Well, that's what the church is. This place is a redemption center. It's a place where slaves are set free. It's a place where someone who is a slave and has no place in the household becomes a child of God. That's our task. That's our role. And redemption is much bigger than just getting your sins forgiven. It's about being transformed into the children of God. Once we become children of God, we'll read Revelation 5 and say, I wish I was there. I wish I was there in the heavenly worship. Now, I'm not accusing anyone, but I would bet it's possible there's one person in here, maybe two, who doesn't find church exciting all the time. Who goes to church because, well, hell sounds pretty awful, and apparently if you go to church, they don't send you to hell, so it's worth an hour of misery to avoid that. We don't like worshiping God for the most part. We don't really understand why we should worship God. We have a list of things that he's failed to do, by the way. We don't have hearts on fire with joy and peace and all that. And when I say we, I mean me. Maybe I'm projecting on you. But a lot of times it takes me energy to get focused on worshiping. I don't have an alleluia spirit. I often feel the way you sound when I say, the Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the Lord, you peoples. Praise him, all you host. Praise him, whatever. You and I are supposed to be practicing for the day when in eternity we are glorifying and praising God. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the two principal apostles, Paul and Peter. As we open the story, Paul's seeking to kill all the Christians he can lay his hands on. And then we turn to Peter. Peter apparently has decided this work of ministry is no good. I'm going to go fish. So when Jesus appears to Peter, it's not or to Paul, it's not surprising that he says, I don't know who is this. It makes sense. The scary part is when Peter and the disciples see Jesus and they don't know who he is. Because at least in theory, they're supposed to be disciples. I don't view myself as an enemy of Christ. I view myself as a disciple. But apparently, the difference between an enemy of Christ and a disciple of Christ when it comes to recognizing Christ is nothing if a disciple is distracted. See, one of the lies we're told is sin is the problem, right? Sin! Peter didn't say, I'm going to go get drunk and find me a lady. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going fishing. I know lots of people would never say in church, I'm going drunk this late weekend and find me a lady. But I know tons of people say, we're going fishing. No one's ashamed of going fishing or any of the other occupations of our life. The problem for Peter and the disciples, they were distracted. And it turns out if you're distracted, you might as well be an unbeliever. The conversion of Paul is worth looking at. Here's a guy who hated the church, and something happened that was so substantial that he went from trying to kill Christians to being one and making more. But we're not going to talk about that either. What we're going to talk about is the words of Jesus, who, by the way, was being schooled by Ananias. Don't you love when, I'm sure we never do that, right? We never give God marching orders. Jesus says, I want you to be, Jesus, you don't understand. This guy, he's bad. He's a bad dude. And Jesus is like, oh, thanks a lot. I'm so busy running the entire universe, I had no idea what was going on. Right? What Jesus says is, I will tell him how much he's going to suffer for the sake of my name. The apostolate that Paul has is the turning point of my life. It's the turning point of your life. Someone says, what's the turning point of your life? It's the moment that God sent Paul out to get Gentiles. And I apologize to all the Jews in here who are already part of the chosen people. But for those of you who are Gentiles from the nations, this is the turning point of our lives. Every single one of us can trace our faith back to this moment where Jesus Christ chooses a murderer and says, I'm going to make you the one to bring my name to the Gentiles. That's the mission of the church. And I know we're really, really sidetracked with lots of things. But if we don't start bringing people to Christ, it's not going to get better out there. And anyone who's satisfied with what's going on now has really not been reading the paper. Paul is going to be suffering for Christ. Peter also is going to suffer for Christ. Three times Jesus asked, do you love me? And that's because three times he denied him. I don't think you need a PhD to figure that one out. Three times he asked, do you love me? And all three times he said, well, if you love me. Be a shepherd. Chapter 10 of John's Gospel explains what the shepherd is. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Good shepherd, you know, all the things a good shepherd does. That is also the ministry of the church. We are all called to be shepherds. We are all called to be shepherds. My primary job is to take care of you while you do that out there. Most of you think I'm the one in charge of that. I'm not in charge of bringing people into the church. I got my hands full with the church. I'm not supposed to be an evangelist out there drawing people to Christ. I'm supposed to educate them, feed them, and prosper them once they decide they want to be believers. That's your job. So this explains why we're not doing so well here lately. You all probably didn't say, you know, I wish Father Jeff would get on it, man. We're starting to lose people at church. He needs to get out there and get some new folks. Peter's job, the church's job, is to feed the lambs. Now, you're doing a great job with the collections, because when they come here looking for stuff, your generosity allows us to help them. You never see them, but they say things like, you're more like my family than my own family. You're making that happen. You're making that possible. And we're all doing stuff that I don't even know about. So that's all good. But I do want to pause for a moment on the issue of the cost. All right. Many years ago, I used to talk about how things were going to get bad, and people used to say, he's so negative. Right? Guess what? No one ever said, and I, for 5 years, no one's been saying, you're kind of negative about things. Now you're like, I think you're mildly optimistic. Things are looking bad out here. When you see people whose Christian faith means they can't work anymore, when I first came here, people didn't like Christians, but they loved Jesus. They thought Jesus was wonderful. It's just the Christians were hypocrites. They don't like Jesus anymore. They don't like Jesus anymore. So this idea that it could cost us something is not theoretical anymore. But listen, I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on this. The guy eating fish with them and bread, the guy who suddenly made their net so full that it was overflowing, that guy's with us today. Jesus is risen. Have you ever looked at someone who's just so beautiful that you had to stare at him? I know, we'll just say a baby because we don't want to pretend like we ever look at anybody else. But let's say a baby. So that baby's so beautiful, I just can't take my eyes. Or a little kid, right? Like 2, 3, that you hear that voice and then that giggle and you just turn and look at him. Of course, now we're afraid to look at kids too. Everything's being ruined, right? But yeah, I just said, oh, they're so adorable. They're so cute. They're so beautiful. Or sunset. Oh, it's so beautiful. Honey, come out here. You got to see this sunset, right? Or a rainbow. One morning I was out running in a rainbow, like at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning. Took a picture, put it on Facebook. I had to. Got 800 comments. Other people put up pictures. Here's what it looks like in Germantown. A rainbow just blows us away, right? Well, all that stuff is nothing compared to the glory to be revealed when we're with Jesus. So let's trust it. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. I need to believe it. I need to get up every day and say, Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. I mean, we want to celebrate Easter one day. Can you imagine? Like if my mom, she's been dead for 35 years, son. If my mom walked into church right now, and I told y'all, that's my mom. She's been dead for 35 years. Do you think you should say on Tuesday, you know, we've already heard the story about your mom. We don't want to hear it anymore. Like, it'd be worth at least, I don't know, 50 days of celebrating. Let's celebrate like we believe in the resurrection.